Hello there. Goodness, I've missed you. It's me, Helen Russell, popping up to say a quick hello, because even though the podcast is on a break right now, I wanted to let you know about my new book, How to Raise a Viking, out now, published by Fourth Estate. It's a book for anyone with children in their lives, and anyone keen to understand why people in the Nordic countries are the way they are. It's about how to build a Viking from the ground up, because having lived Danishly for 11 years now, I began to realise that Vikings do things differently. So I wanted to find out why and how, and what the rest of us could learn from them, to steal and try at home, wherever we are. How to Raise a Viking is out now, online, in all good bookshops and libraries. I love libraries. And because you're special, and I love my podcast listeners dearly, I wanted to share a little taster of the audiobook, narrated by someone whose voice you might just recognise. I hope you enjoy. A Viking is born. In a Scandi modern glass house, with the Danish flag flying outside and a view of the Baltic Sea, it finally happened. After years of trying came two blue lines, and life changed forever. Thanks to a centralised healthcare system and a handy yellow ID card, after the first doctor's appointment, I was officially in the system and on autopilot. I was assigned a midwife, my appointments were scheduled, and I was enrolled at the local hospital. My progress was tracked in a yellow journal used by every expectant mother in Denmark. And I learned early on that Danes use fewer needles, tests, exams, or any other medical procedures than elsewhere. Because Vikings go old school, as typified by visits to my midwife. Following a cursory chat about how I was doing and a good deal of linguistic creativity, my gynecological Danish being below par, she came at me with an ear trumpet. Now we listen for the heartbeat. I had been expecting a scanner, but apparently a Pienaar horn worked just fine. And aside from encouragement to eat a vegetable once in a while, dietary and lifestyle advice was minimal. Consequently, other internationals expressed horror at some, all, of my life choices during pregnancy. Coffee? You're drinking coffee? What about the baby? The blood rose in my cheeks. Had I mistaken coffee for crack? I checked the guidelines in my yellow journal. Coffee, no more than 2 to 3 cups a day. I think a single shot latte is probably okay. In Denmark, maybe. For the following week, lumbering to a Japanese restaurant with friends, I was ambushed by the judgy international again. Sushi? You're eating sushi? I got out my journal to show him how pregnant women are advised not to eat sushi made from fish that has not been frozen. But in Denmark, all fish has been pre-frozen. So it's safe to eat sushi when pregnant in Denmark, actually. The only restrictions, other than alcohol and smoking, are around two major Danish food groups, leverpostej, or liver pate, and lakrids, or licorice. The former contains too much vitamin A, while the latter can increase blood pressure and cause fluid retention. I don't know about you, but I retain plenty of fluid all by myself, so I steered clear. But Danes confine themselves to the smallest smear of pate and limerick licorice to 50 grams a day in pregnancy. Then, for the most part, it's business as usual. Vikings don't change their lifestyle just because they're pregnant. They don't blast babies with Bach or Gregorian chants in utero. There's no pressure to do daily affirmations or burn a candle that smells like your vagina, just for instance. Danes are happy to cycle, run and swim up until birth. In Norway, they also ski. Until around 6 months pregnant, at least, a mother of two in Oslo told me. Despite looking like I'd been inflated with a bicycle pump by the second trimester, I did my best to keep up with my Nordic neighbours. Whereas friends in the US and the UK increasingly shower mothers-to-be leading up to the birth, Vikings simply assemble a few essentials themselves. It's normal to welcome hand-me-downs or buy pre-loved baby gear, and Danes are a thrifty bunch. There's no eBay or Amazon in Denmark, but sites such as dba.dk and reshopper.dk are popular for all manner of second-hand items, from toys to car seats. Since 1938, Finland's expectant mothers have been offered a baby shower by the state in the form of a baby box. This contains a mattress, sheet, blanket, sleeping bag, insulated mittens and booties. There's also a hooded suit, socks, a knitted hat and a balaclava, says mother of one, author and journalist Katja Panzar in Helsinki. There are bodysuits, romper suits, a hooded bath towel, nail scissors, a hairbrush, a bath thermometer, nappy cream, a washcloth, nappies, muslin squares, a picture book, bra pads, condoms. Condoms? I think that horse has bolted. Basically everything you need, for free. The contents of Finland's baby box have changed over the years, offering an insight into Viking parenting norms. In the 1970s, with more mothers working, disposable nappies and easy-to-wash baby clothes in colourful patterns replaced the white, non-stretch garments that took an age to launder. Then, in 2006, cloth nappies were reintroduced to assuage environmental concerns, and the bottle was left out to encourage breastfeeding. Once Finns have unpacked their boxes, the new arrival can sleep in it. Since the 1990s, it's been recommended that parents don't sleep with their babies due to increased risk of SIDS, or sudden infant death syndrome. My sister died this way in the 1980s, so this has always been an issue close to my heart, and one I worried about from the moment I discovered I was pregnant. The risk of SIDS is highest in the first 6 months of life, when parents are the most exhausted and the least equipped to make safe sleep choices. So Finns figured out that giving families a portable place to put sleepy babies made parents more likely to follow guidelines. Finland now has one of the lowest infant mortality rates in the world, 2 deaths per 1,000 live births, compared with a global rate of 38 in 1,000, according to the UN. But this isn't just about a box. Finland's baby kits were introduced at the same time as prenatal care, so pregnant women had to attend clinics to qualify for the package. At the start, the baby box was only for Finland's poorest families, and just 31% of pregnant women received prenatal care. By 1949, the package was offered to all expectant mothers. And coverage has been 99 to 100% in recent decades, says Professor Mika Gisler of the Finnish Institute for Health and Welfare. The baby boxes are symbolic of Finland's wider healthcare system and dedication to combating inequality, something the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres called one of the 4 biggest challenges facing the world today, along with the cost of living, crumbling trust levels, and the fact that our planet is burning. Good times. Finland's baby boxes spawned imitators in England, Canada, Australia, India, Scotland, and South Africa. But these initiatives can't make up for the structural inequalities outside of the Nordic countries. "You're always taken care of here," is how one Swedish friend puts it. "You feel safe. However much you earn, however rich or poor your parents are, you get looked after. So in pregnancy, you can just, well, relax." This was my experience. "Hello, darling," my mother FaceTimed in a frenzy a month from my due date. "You look tired." "Thanks." "Have you nested? You must nest. Defrost the freezer. Deep clean the bathroom. Get it all done now and you'll thank yourself later." "I won't." "What about your hospital bag? Have you packed your hospital bag? It could be any day now." It wasn't. My firstborn was 11 days overdue. "Pack your hospital bag today." I walked to the bathroom, picked up my electric toothbrush and dropped it into my handbag. Done. "That's it?" "That's it." The hospital packing list in Denmark is toothbrush. End of list. You can pack more if you like, but there's nothing you need since the hospital has it sorted. "What about a birth plan?" my mother asked. "Sarah from work had a paddling pool with U2 playing. Would you like a paddling pool with U2 playing?" I would not. I don't think they do birth plans here. They didn't at the time. "About as close as we get is a white scarf in the car," says my oldest Danish friend and mother of 3, veteran Viking. She tells me this while rustling up dinner for 5 and watching a YouTube tutorial on how to fix a U-bend. Like I say, get stuff done. A white scarf? Surely labour is no time for Hollywood glamour or a Marilyn Monroe tribute. Traditionally, you'd hold a white scarf out of the car window if you were having a baby. Then it was accepted you could skip the traffic. Was that legal? Sure, still is as long as it's an emergency and you get police permission. This is so entrenched in Danish life that it's illegal to dangle anything white out of your car except in a crisis. Which all meant no Marilyn Monroe chic for me. I couldn't face the fashion police and labour on the same day. I wasn't sure I could face labour at all. I already knew from friends that Viking childbirth tended to be au naturel. Everyone seemed to agree that it was a good idea to take birth preparation classes, but these weren't an option where I lived, Stixville, back in the Middle Ages, 2014. So instead, I talked to my midwife. Me. What are my pain relief options? Midwife. What would you like? Me. Everything? Midwife. We will write oxygen as a last resort. I had rather assumed oxygen as a given, something I enjoyed on a daily basis. You could also try a heat pad, a hot water bottle, or a bee sting. This is where water is injected under the skin with a very small needle so that you're distracted from the big pain by a smaller, different pain. Does it work? For about half of all women giving birth, yes. I didn't love those odds. What about an epidural? The princess stick? This, it transpired, was Viking for epidural. A princess stick is serious. Isn't having a baby serious? Ha ha ha, she laughed. I did not. Veteran Viking told me matter-of-factly that having a baby was like being kicked by a horse, before adding, but I've done it 3 times now, so it can't be so bad. What if I don't want to be kicked by a horse? She shrugged. It's not always optional. She was right. It wasn't. Baby number one emerged after 18 hours of labour, with a shock of red hair and the biggest lungs in the hospital, so the nurses told me. Second time around with twins, I had a C-section at 38 weeks. I'll be with you every step of the way, Lego Man told me, before fainting at the glint of the surgeon's knife. I was grateful to swap 18 hours of labour for a 7-minute C-section, but the recovery was agony. Nana Schultz, founder of the Danish pregnancy and birth community Mumkind, described her experience of new motherhood as shell shock. I loved my new baby, but I was surprised by how difficult I found it all. I felt like, I'm brave, I'm adventurous, and then I had this kid and suddenly I didn't feel like I was any of those things. I didn't feel like I was doing anything right. Feeling out of control conflicted with the idea Nana had of herself. Here in Denmark and the Nordic countries, women are supposed to be strong. We have careers, we can do everything, we are Vikings. So suddenly, when I felt like I couldn't do everything, when I didn't feel strong, well, it was a real shock. Nana felt inspired to share the lows of parenting as well as the highs, setting up Mumkind to help other Danish parents through the process. I wonder what makes a good Viking birth, and so get in touch with Louise Simsek, midwife and mother of three, including my son's second best friend from kindergarten. When you're small, these things matter. I make her tea, and she tells me, I think many women here find it difficult to be out of control, and having a baby can feel very out of control. So what should we do? I want women to have thought through what they expect, what they're scared of, and what they look forward to, says Louise. And when she speaks, women listen. Midwifery is notoriously competitive to get into in Denmark, requiring the highest grades in the country for just a few prized places, so midwives enjoy a phenomenal level of respect in Danish society. I had my babies in the same hospital where Louise works and experienced firsthand the expertise of her colleagues. Once a baby has been delivered and the professionals have made sure everyone's okay, there is the ceremonial new baby breakfast tray with bread, jam, cheese, juice and a Danish flag on a wooden stand. This isn't purely a sign of patriotism, but of celebration, used to mark every birthday in Denmark. After I'd been fed and watered, I was given my own room and Lego Man was invited to stay over on a spare bed. But if you're going to be here, you have to help. An excellently brusque Danish nurse told Lego Man after the birth of our first. She handed him a leaflet entitled, A Partner's Role During Hospitalization. He read aloud. Responsibilities include changing bed linen as needed, picking up clean clothes and towels, collecting food and drink and... fetching things. Like what? I asked. Anything you need, said the nurse. The corridors of power in Viking maternity wards are lined with cupboards containing clothes, nappies, flannels, industrial post-birth sanitary pads, sick bags, breast pumps, vases for flowers, and mysteriously looking packets marked fishnet panties. You haven't worn these before? The nurse took in our surprised expressions. I looked at Lego Man, then the nurse, then at Lego Man again. I mean, I may have, one time. They can be very useful if you soil yourself, the nurse went on. What? I'd have thought fishnet would be the very last fabric advantageous in any sort of accident. It's basically a sieve. Because then you just toss them away. Oh, Lego Man was quicker off the mark. You mean disposable pants.
What did you think I meant?
Just that, I mumbled. Next time the brusque nurse was passing, she brought me several enormous pairs of ruched leg pants, definitely more surgical mesh than Anne Summers. I thanked her profusely. During my time in hospital, nurses and midwives were unfailingly patient and generous in teaching me to care for my new baby. How do I clean? I stared at a tiny bottom covered in what looked like curried yogurt. This? Are there wet wipes? I'm sure I've seen people using wipes.
No, we use Skumvasklul.
Scum? What did you say?
Skumvasklul.
These turned out to be small sponge slices to be run under water, then used to wipe away whatever it is you need to wipe away, without chemicals. Okay, I told myself, I can do this. Bring on the scum. I got the hang of changing, but struggled with breastfeeding, resulting in a chest that became so full it turned square. Two stony-faced nurses in their 50s took turns pummeling me like bread to encourage letdown, because Vikings, I learned, are big on nursing. Icelandic hospitals even import supplies of breast milk from Denmark for preterm babies whose mothers are unable to breastfeed. This is great for babies, but can be tough for the Nordic mothers I speak to, who feel that their worth and identity are tied to their ability to breastfeed. New mothers who are ready to leave hospital but are experiencing lactation issues have an opportunity to stay on in the Stork Hotel or Patient Hotel for around 300 Danish kroner a night, or £32, with a nurse on call. A friend who gave birth in the US was incredulous at this when she called to compare war stories of the miracle of birth. Wait, so you can just stay being looked after, with someone else doing the cooking and cleaning and newborn poop-splosion laundry, with professionals on hand for any emergencies or existential crises at 1 a.m. because your baby won't latch and you've never felt more alone in your life, for the price of a trip to the movies? Tell me you're staying. I had to disappoint her here, too. Once my son was out of special care and I could urinate without a catheter, I elected to go home. But whereas new parent friends in the US left hospital with a hefty bill, in Vikingland, childbirth is free. Presumably you pay for it with your crazy taxes, though, asked incredulous US friend. Yes and no, I told her. The average Dane pays 35.4% of their income in taxes, compared with the Organisation for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD, average of 24.6%. But the average monthly salary is 45,500 Danish kroner, or £5,244. This means Danes are taking home an average of around 31,000 Danish kroner a month after tax, or £3,573. Back in the UK, the average monthly wage is £2,773 before tax, or 24,000 kroner in Denmark. Yes, the cost of living in Denmark is around 15% higher than in the UK, but house prices are, on average, 15% lower than in the UK. Danes also get free healthcare, free education, and free dental treatment up to the age of 22. Oh, and although the official working week is 37 hours, OECD figures show that the average Dane is only putting in 33 hours a week. So, you know, I told incredulous US friend, it's not bad. The high tax and the redistribution of wealth makes for less inequality too, which in turn makes Danes happier. Americans are also happier when there's more economic equality. Psychology professor Shigeru Oishi from the University of Virginia studied general social survey data from 1972 to 2008 and found that Americans were, on average, happier in the years with less national income inequality. He found that happiness remained stable until the 1990s, then began to drop as income inequality grew. Social epidemiologists Professor Richard Wilkinson and Kate Pickett believe that trying to maintain self-esteem and status in a more unequal society can be highly stressful, and the growing inequality worldwide is even leading to a rise in addiction. Whereas in Denmark and the Nordic countries, where tax is high and there's less inequality, there's less animosity between the relatively rich and the relatively poor. And I can leave hospital without paying a thing. I shall have to try very hard not to punch you in the face next time I see you, incredulous US friend told me. I love you too, I told her.
Bag packed, disposable underwear in place, I stood and prepared to leave, held together by stitches and codeine. We were going home, to somehow take care of a brand new baby, all by ourselves. "And I can't even keep Basil alive," I murmured. "Nobody panic," muttered Lego Man as he tried to navigate an ISOFIX child seat and the small pink thing started hollering. "No need to panic," but his eyes very clearly said, "Panic." What I've learnt about how to raise a Viking from the inside out. 1. There is no easy way to get a baby out. Worse luck. Pregnancy and birth are unpredictable, regardless of best-laid plans. There may not be whale music or scented candles or you two playing a private concert in a paddling pool, but that's okay. We'll have some impressive new scars, mesh underwear and war stories to share instead. 2. There's no need to buy all the stuff advertised to new parents. We are a captive, scared, susceptible market, making babies in a madly capitalist age. There are plenty who seek to exploit us. But just because a school friend on Facebook bought a bugaboo doesn't mean I need to. 3. It's worth reframing high taxes as reducing inequality and investing in the next generation, Nordic style. Sharing really is caring, and a baby is not a commodity. It shouldn't arrive with a price tag.